The Pre-Raphaelite Poets, An Introduction. The Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood, to give it its original title, was originally a group of English painters founded in 1848 by William Holman Hunt, John Everett Millais, and Dante Gabriel Rossetti. As painters, they were determined to usurp those artists who had followed Raphael and Michelangelo, and to return to the abundant detail, intense colours and complex compositions of Quattrocento Italian art. The founders were soon joined by several others and began to radiate their influence beyond painting to both the decorative arts and literature. From this came the Pre-Raphaelite poetry movement. Although it was short-lived, it was highly influential, as well as being both illuminating and controversial. The Pre-Raphaelites managed to infuse their verse with melancholy, longing, desire, lyricism, and mysticism, and to put into poetic strictures ideas that were never normally discussed in polite society. In stark context to the public boundaries of Victorian society, it was quite a shock to the staid establishment, and indeed would go on to be a core influence on the later aesthetic and decadent poetic movements, and of course is still widely admired to this day. Its detractors referred to it as the fleshly school of poetry, but the Pre-Raphaelites' use of words was liberating and certainly challenging and soared way beyond parochial prudish critics. This volume includes works by Dante Gabriel Rossetti, Christina Georgina Rossetti, Algernon Charles Swinburne, William Morris, George Meredith, as well as lesser-known poets, such as Elizabeth Siddal, recognisable as Ophelia in Millais' famous painting.
Nuptial Sleep by Dante Gabriel Rossetti. At length their long kiss severed with sweet smart, and as the last slow sudden drops are shed from sparkling eaves when all the storms had fled, so singly flagged the pulses of each heart. Their bosoms sundered with the opening start of married flowers to either side outspread from the knit stem. Yet still their mouths burnt red, fawned on each other where they lay apart. Sleep sank them lower than the tide of dreams, and their dreams watched them sink and slid away. Slowly their souls swam up again through gleams of watered light and dull, drowned waifs of day, till from some wonder of new woods and streams he woke and wondered more, for there she lay.
The Sonnet by Dante Gabriel Rossetti. A sonnet is a moment's monument, memorial from the soul's eternity to one dead, deathless hour. Look that it be, whether for lustral rite or dire portent, of its own arduous fullness reverent. Carve it in ivory or in ebony, as day or night may rule, and let time see its flowering crest impearled and orient. A sonnet is a coin. Its face reveals the soul, its converse to what power 'tis due. Whether for tribute to the august appeals of life, or dower in love's high retinue it serve, or mid the dark wharf's cavernous breath, in Charon's palm it pay the toll of death.
Love's Gleaning Tide by William Morris. Draw not away thy hands, my love, with wind alone the branches move, and though the leaves be scant above, the autumn shall not shame us. Say, let the world wax cold and drear, what is the worst of all the year but life, and what can hurt us, dear, or death, and who shall blame us? Ah, when the summer comes again, how shall we say we sowed in vain? The root was joy, the stem was pain, the ear a nameless blending. The root is dead and gone, my love. The stem's a rod, our truth to prove. The ear is stored for naught to move, till heaven and earth have ending.
Near Avalon by William Morris. A ship with shields before the sun, six maidens round the mast, a red gold crown on every one, a green gown on the last. The fluttering green banners there are wrought with ladies' heads most fair, and a portraiture of Guinevere the middle of each sail doth bear. A ship with sails before the winds, and round the helm six knights, their homes are on, whereby half blind they pass by many sights. The tattered scarlet banners there right soon will leave the spearheads bare, those six knights sorrowfully bear in all their homes some yellow hair.
From Sunset to Starrise by Christina Georgina Rossetti. Go from me, summer friends, and tarry not. I am no summer friend, but wintry cold, a silly sheep benighted from the fold, a sluggard with a thorn-choked garden plot. Take counsel, sever from my lot your lot. Dwell in your pleasant places, hoard your gold, lest you with me should shiver on the wold, athirst and hungering on a barren spot. For I have hedged me with a thorny hedge. I live alone, I look to die alone. Yet sometimes, when a wind sighs through the sedge, ghosts of my buried years and friends come back. My heart goes sighing after swallows flown on sometime summer's unreturning track.
A study, a soul. She stands as pale as Parian statues stand, like Cleopatra when she turned at bay and felt her strength above the Roman sway and felt the aspic writhing in her hand. Her face is steadfast toward the shadowy land, for dim beyond it looms the light of day. Her feet are steadfast, all the arduous way that foot track hath not wavered on the sand. She stands there like a beacon through the night, a pale clear beacon where the storm drift is. She stands alone, a wonder deathly white. She stands there patient, nerved with inner might, indomitable in her feebleness, her face and will athirst against the light.
White Butterflies by Algernon Charles Swinburne. Fly, white butterflies, out to sea. Frail, pale wings for the wind to try. Small white wings that we scarce can see. Fly! Some fly light as a laugh of glee, some fly soft as a long low sigh, all to the haven where each would be. Fly!
Music, an Ode by Algernon Charles Swinburne. Was it light that spake from the darkness, or music that shone from the word, when the night was enkindled with sound of the sun or the first-born bird? Souls enthralled and entrammelled in bondage of seasons that fall and rise, bound fast round with the fetters of flesh, and blinded with light that dies, lived not surely till music spake and the spirit of life was heard. Music, sister of sunrise, and herald of life to be, smiled as dawn on the spirit of man, and the thrall was free. Slave of nature and serf of time, the bondman of life and death, dumb with passionless patience that breathed, but forlorn and reluctant breath, heard, beheld, and his soul made answer, and communed aloud with the sea. Morning spake, and he heard, and the passionate silent noon kept for him not silence. And soft from the mounting moon, though the sound of her splendour, heard as dawns in the breathless night, not of men, but of birds whose note bade man's soul quicken and leap to light. And the song of it spake, and the light and the darkness of earth were as chords in tune.
Women's Rights by John Lucas Tupper. Now know I well this nation's strength doth wane, but not because its eager intellect hath taken means for end, losing respect, or self industrious in a miser's vein, to heap up ever what is counted gain, much too intent on hoarding to detect if that be gain or no, even this defeat. The trick of mind might right itself with strain, but when I see our heart of woman turned to worship in this wise, her brow engrossed, and hardened with a weight of wisdom earned at such an impious and unnatural cost, her dower of beauty dim and undiscerned, then know I that the land I loved is lost.
The Last Smile by John Ruskin. She sat beside me yesterday with lip and eye so blandly smiling, so full of soul, of life and light, so sweetly my lorn heart beguiling, that she had almost made me gay, had almost charmed the thought away, which like the poisoned desert wind came sick and heavy o'er my mind. That memory soon mine all would be, and she would smile no more for me.
Lucifer in Starlight by George Meredith. On a starred night, Prince Lucifer uprose. Tired of his dark dominion, swung the fiend above the rolling ball in cloud part screened, where sinners hugged their spectre of repose, poor prey to his hot fit of pride with those. And now upon his western wing he leaned, now his huge bulk o'er Afric's sand careened, now the black planet shadowed Arctic snows, soaring through wider zones than pricked his scars with memory of the old revolt from awe. He reached a middle height, and at the stars, which are the brain of heaven, he looked and sank. Around the ancient track marched, rank on rank, the army of unalterable law.